today on Real Radio.
And all of your grieving and all of the stuff that you are repulsed by and that you cringe, the pain, the ugliness, the sorrow, the grief, the disease, God is speaking in all of that. And he's saying, this is not the end. This is not it. I will take you all the way through.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Things That Are Impossible, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry was like no other prophet in biblical history. He not only foretold the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but his prophecies regarding the nation of Israel, well, they were far beyond scope, some reaching as far as the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 45, we learn that Israel's rebellion against God and their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah will cause the Lord to scatter the Jews out of their homeland. But not all will be lost. The Lord will make a new covenant with Israel and forgive their disobedience. So today on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 46, Pastor Jack tells us that the Lord promises to keep us in his care and take us through to the end. Life often feels like it knocks the wind out of us, but we are to take comfort in God's plan for us. He will keep us, rescue us, and finally release us into his eternal kingdom. And now, continuing his lesson called Things That Are Impossible, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 4, even to your old age. Wow, what a leap. From verse 3 to verse 4, even to your old age, I am he, and given the gray hairs, even to gray hairs, I will carry you. Oh, friends, listen, circle the word carry. The word in Hebrew means, let me read it again, even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will, listen, be pregnant over you and for you until the end. That's the meaning of the word. You say, what in the world? What? Yep, these words that God is using to communicate to us that he does the impossible, he is saying, I am pregnant over you with something. We're going to find out what that something is. Strange communication. God says, I brought you forth out of the womb. I've carried you along. And from the moment of your conception all the way through, verse 4, to you getting old with gray hair in the moment of your death, God is saying, I've been with you. I've been with you all along the way. And this is a serious challenge to all of us because the temptation is for us to think that God was not around when bad things were happening to us, right? Where was God? That's what we hear from our Jewish friends in Israel. You want me to believe in God? Where was God in the Holocaust? And he answers them in the Bible. Read Deuteronomy chapter 25 to chapter 28. He answers them. And all of the things of your life and mine, the rejection of our parents, our father or our mother against our lives, maybe us being left at the firehouse when we were an infant, or not allowed to be part of the family, so to speak, but the outcast, you name it, whatever it might be. Or maybe you had a great childhood, but maybe it was this way in life or that way at the company, or, and you've had all these things. This guy robbed you. These people ripped, whatever it is. And all of it that's gone on in our lives, God is saying to you, I've been with you all along, and I'm committed to you all the way to the moment that your hair turns gray and that you lay your head down for the last time and you die. I am with you in all of your grieving and all of the stuff that you are repulsed by and that you cringe, the pain, the ugliness, the sorrow, the grief, the disease. God is speaking in all of that. And he's saying, this is not the end. This is not it. I will take you all the way through. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God that does the impossible. Thank God for the impossible, because that's what he completely does with just the snap of his finger. He says, I'm with you. And I wrote some things down regarding the meaning of that word. I will still be pregnant with the promises that I said I would keep you. Do you have promises in the Bible? Have you wondered? Maybe trials and tribulations of life, hardship, maybe. I remember, I guess all of us guys, I guess, right? I mean, didn't we all get in schoolyard fights? Or maybe if you didn't, but maybe you played some sort of sports or whatever, or soccer, football, you get kicked in the gut. You ever had the wind knocked out of you? It's funny, when you get the wind knocked out of you for the first time, I don't know, maybe you're 5 years old or you fall out of the swing set and you land on your stomach, you think you're dying. Do you remember that? You're, you can't breathe. Life does that to us. Boom! And you feel like that tonight, maybe the wind has been knocked out of you and you can't catch your breath. And God says, wait. I am pregnant with promises that I've made to you. I will keep them. You need to hear that tonight. I was talking to a friend some years ago. He was going through a tremendous time. And I said, how you doing? And he said, I'm doing okay. The last time I checked, Romans chapter 8 is still in the Bible. And I thought that was an awesome answer. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purposes. When's the last time you had to check on that verse, make sure it's still there? God says, I'm pregnant with promises for you. The second thing is, I will still be pregnant with promises to you that I would finish in your life what I started. That's a great comfort to me. What has God started in your life? Can you find something that God has started in your life? It's God's plan to fully develop that. Let him do it. I will still be pregnant with promises that heaven is when and where everything in life will make sense. Church, listen. When verse 4 goes on, he says, I have made you. Look at it. I have made you. The word in Hebrew means, listen, this is a deep word. Asah is the word in Hebrew, and it means to think you forth. It's a bizarre word. God says, I have thought you into existence. You. I've thought you into existence. This is a great comfort, because you might say tonight, and I know there are people who make arguments that and this is less than 1%. Thank God it's less than 1%, but even less than 1% is too much. But there are people who become pregnant by virtue of rape. And I've read some stories recently where a woman had been raped and brought the child full term, and that child turned out to be an incredible blessing in her life. And the woman didn't sin and the child didn't sin. But God brought beauty out of a horrible event. And you think about that for a moment, where God says, in the end, every tear will be wiped away. And he even says, in the day of judgment, I'll take the wrath of man to praise my name. Somehow this freaked out world, church, and things that are coming against your life, your finances or your health or your spiritual stability or whatever it's going on, personal, doesn't matter. Everything that's crushing against you, God says, in the end, it's all going to make sense. And that's important to me, because you know what? Not much of what this world does makes sense to me. I'm going to be really honest with you right now. The more I look around this world, I see the world nuts. The more I look around this world, I don't belong here. And that world that I say I don't belong here also says to me, we don't want you here. Think about it. The world does not want us here. Soon, maybe tonight, everyone's dreams are going to be fulfilled. We won't be here and they won't have us here. I wish you Christians were out of here. Oh, so do we. Oh, so do we. Any moment. Oh, man. Someday it's going to make sense. Does it make sense now? Why do good people suffer? Why do the wicked seem to prosper and do great? Why do these things happen? Listen, I don't know. I can only answer that to a point, and then I got to let it go. Do you understand that, everybody? You've got to let it go. This is where he has given us enough of the revelation of who he is for us to step back and take a deep breath and trust him. Friends, listen, write it down if you need to. Get a tattoo. Trust him. Trust him. We have to trust him. And that is true worship. False worship, you can't trust nothing because your God that you're walking with, if you trip over your robe and everything goes down and the heads are rolling and arms are breaking off, there goes your God and you're done. If you've got to put your God on a cart and watch your step, you're in trouble. God says, I've made you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you before you were born. I sanctified you and ordained you. And I have a line right there because God's speaking to Jeremiah and God says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. But I've got little dot, 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 dot in my notes because ordained you, whoever you are, whatever you're doing. Fill in the blank. God says, I've ordained you to what? To be a mom, a dad, an engineer, a doctor, husband, wife, what is it? Where are you tonight? It's not an accident. God has been with you all along. Well, I'm not doing the career I want to do. Oh, that's fine, but God is with you. Well, I don't like this job I'm in and this thing, and what about that thing? And both of us, we've decided just about to end our marriage. Wait, God says he can fix it. Don't throw it away. Listen, the bruises, the bumps, the rough roads, the miles, all of the wear and tear regarding your marriage, stop right there because those things that look absolutely impossible, God takes those things and makes them tremendous learning devices that makes you wise for the future. You don't have to make those mistakes again. There's some people, look, I've seen it too many times in church life. It's pathetic. This person winds up getting a divorce, gets married again, divorced, married again, divorced, and everything along the way, they take this thing that destroyed their marriage, they take it right into the next marriage, and the same thing destroys the marriage, and then they just take it, and the same thing destroys the marriage again. Best to stick it out and make it work. Seek God. He's got a plan. He does not forsake you. He brought you forth from the womb and he is walking with you, as we shall see in a moment. Look what he says. He says, and I will bear you. You don't have to bear him. The God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you don't carry him. He carries you. I bear you, God says. Christian, listen, God bears you. He'll carry you. He'll take you. By the way, that word, I will bear you, the word bear here in Hebrew is to go through it all together. It means to go alongside a person, to walk with them. You know anybody grieving tonight? You know anybody grieving? And you know, as a friend, you want to be near them. And it's sometimes, listen, and this is sometimes the best comfort you can ever give somebody. You know when someone's really hurting and you know you want to be alongside them to give them comfort, but you don't know what to say. Listen, whenever you don't know what to say, best to say nothing. Zip your mouth and just be there. There comes a time when grief cannot receive words. Just be there. And God says, I'll walk all the way through with it all with you. All along, I'll be alongside you. This is what God says. And look, he goes on to say, even I will carry you. That's that word carry again, to be pregnant over you with promise, with hope. It implies all the way to the end. And I will deliver you. The word deliver is to keep. I love this word. It's to keep you, rescue you, and then, listen, to release you. Write that down. It is to keep you. God says, I'm going to deliver you. I'll keep you. I'll rescue you. And I'll release you. The scholars I read on this, their answer was this. That God keeps us in life. He rescues us from the wicked one, from the devil, from hell. And I love this. And once we breathe our last in this world and our first in his world to come, he releases us. The picture they said is you're released into the kingdom of eternity of heaven with him forever. Think about that. God opens up the door. It's kind of like taking a little kid to Disneyland. It's awesome. But you watch their face. You have little ones, you take them to Disneyland, and you're not looking at the junk there. You're looking at their face, aren't you? You're looking at their face, you know, oh, watch it, you got the camera, look at. Right, don't you? Because they're like this, oh, ah, oh my, wow. And I see that when the Lord, listen, and release them. Imagine when the gates, as it were, swing open wide and you enter heaven. Oh my goodness. But I love the fact that it all starts out with him saying, I made you. All of this implies, and I think teaches clearly, that, you know, as God speaks in these terms of bringing us forth from birth, from the womb, there's a weird phase of our lives that we come to this place of thinking that we're okay now, we got it all under control. And I think that's a dangerous place. And what I mean by that is this: when you and I came forth into the world, the only way that you and I survived is that someone cared for us. Think about it. Somebody cared for us. Somebody gave us a bottle, changed our pants. You know what I'm saying? Somebody cared for us. We couldn't do anything for us. Without somebody totally taking care of us, we wouldn't have survived, right? And then we kind of grow up a little bit, and then we reach the teenage years, which are really dangerous because you think you know everything, you don't know nothing. And this independence happens, and then you're going through life, and you begin to attribute any success to yourself, which is dangerous. And that's a form of idol worship. You go from Baal and Nebo to me. Me, myself, and I, we did this. The Trinity of me, we're brilliant. I had this thought, so I did it. I've done well. And there's people who live like this. And they might say to themselves, if I get more knowledge, if I get more education, I'm going to be like this, and that's it, and that's, well, look at me. And listen, you know you're in trouble when you look down at people, and you may not say it, or maybe you do, but inside your heart, you're thinking, these poor imbeciles, if they only had the education that I've had. That's scary. But you know what? Not all is lost, because as time progresses, your body begins to age. Things begin to happen. Or you're not landing the deals that you once landed. And that income is not what it once was. And all of a sudden, what you had isn't enough. Well, I've got 1 million. Now I need 2. Now I need 10. I've had this, and now I've got to get the other. And the world can't satisfy. It never satisfies. But when we seek after idols to get meaning, when life hits like it does and it's rough, it evaporates. And it comes down to this. Listen, didn't Job say it? Naked I came, and naked I go. Blessed be the name of God, right? You and I came into this world, we're completely dependent upon people, wearing diapers and needed to be fed. And listen, we live through that time frame of thinking that we got the world by the tail. And once we transition out of that, we're naked again in diapers and needing to be fed. until it's over. And here's my conclusion. All along the way, it's never been any greater or any less. It's been constant, 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 and that is, I need God. Constantly, constantly, I need him. I'm breathing right now because of God. He's amazing. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts, listen, friends, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking. Nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in that thing for which I sent it. God says, you cannot know, Jack, what's going on in your life. You can only know to a point, and then it's beyond you. Church friends, listen, I got to wrap this up. We'll pick it up next time together. You got to hear this. The stuff that's going on in your life, you want answers to those things. You're not going to get the answer. I want to know why. You're not going to know. God may give you a little bit of insight, but you're not going to know. Christian, listen. It takes no faith in God if we know everything that's happened in our lives. It takes no faith. You see, I want all the answers. You want all the answers tonight. You're not going to get the answers. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And the Bible warns us, don't lean on your own understanding. This is where the Christian, who God has given us overwhelming evidence, where our faith is founded upon fact, but this is where the Christian and the rubber meets the road. Because you have cancer tonight. But I love, listen, I've heard this 1,000 times and I'm not knocking it. I may wind up saying it if I get cancer, and you need to tell it right back to me. But this is what we hear from people, and I understand where it's coming from. Pastor Jack, I love God, but I have cancer. Do you not understand? You understand those two things are completely irrelevant. They don't connect. Did you know that? One has nothing to do with the other. To say or to believe what you're saying is to say that God gives cancer to those he doesn't love. That's impossible. We live in a world that's fallen. This is a world that gets sick because of sin. Jesus died on the cross for my sins and your sins. He died there. You'll never see hell, but we will see war and sickness and injustice. I am so tired of people whining about this. Black lives matter, white lives matter, blue lives matter, green lives matter. Are we so stupid to begin to think that a certain people group, their lives matter less than others? Listen, God says all lives matter. But when we remove God from our minds, we get all feely, freaky, and weird. And we get all, listen, God loves all of us. We need to get our eyes off the culture and get our eyes on God. He loves you. God doesn't look at colors. He doesn't look at colors. Well, aren't there injustices in the world? There have been, there is, and there shall be until God comes back. It's going to happen. Not to make an excuse for it, but it's going to happen. Here's the deal. If I know that's the way it is, because it's in human heart, what do? I don't worry about the captain up at the front of the boat. I put my fix on the captain that's steering the universe. That'll change your life. But we have made so much stuff in our culture our idol. We want government to fix everything. There are certain things that God says, trust me. I know what I'm doing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Things That Are Impossible, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today, and don't be a victim of circumstance, but be an overcomer because you are relying on God. Things That Are Impossible, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, with the way the world is going, do you often think about heaven and what it's going to be like? We often think of heaven when life seems to stretch us beyond our limits or when it's exhausting just to get up in the morning. But have you really done a study on heaven? We do get a glimpse of heaven in the Bible, many mansions, the streets of gold. But what else is there to discover about heaven? Well, December's book of the month will give you a thorough biblical answer. It's simply called Heaven, and it's written by Randy Alcorn. This engaging and reader-friendly study will stretch your thinking, and his conclusions just might surprise you. Again, December's book of the month, it's called Heaven, written by Randy Alcorn. It makes a great gift for someone you know who could use a little inspiration this Christmas, and it's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.